More than 160 key races will be decided by Michigan's 7.4 million voters in November. One will be for Michigan's third-ranking office holder, the Secretary of State. Once responsible for much of state government, the Secretary's chief duty now is to run the Department of State, which oversees elections, vehicle registrations, driver's licenses, notaries public, and related programs and services. The Michigan Democratic Party's choice for Secretary of State is a legal scholar, elections expert, attorney, and social activist from Detroit. We'll speak with Jocelyn Benson next on Media Meet. Hello and welcome to WNMU's Media Meet. I'm Bill Hart. Our guest is Democratic candidate for Michigan Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson of Detroit. Joining me on the panel is Great Lakes Radio News Director Walt Lindelof. Welcome.
Thank you.
Ms. Benson, you're a Harvard Law graduate with a master's in sociology from Oxford, the CEO of the Ross Initiative in Sports for Equality. A former dean of Wayne State University Law School, a board member of the Southern Poverty Law Center, and one of the youngest ever members of the Michigan Women's Hall of Fame. I can understand an interest in politics, but why the sort of unglamorous office of Secretary of State?
The Secretary of State is the office that interacts with more citizens than any other in state government, and it provides a great opportunity to lead this with the state, to serve our citizens well, and you know, the Secretary of State is the chief election officer for the state of Michigan, so with my background in elections and voting rights and democracy work, that in particular interests me because it's a great opportunity to ensure we're bringing the best ideas to protect every citizen right to vote and protect the security of our elections.
Okay. Your book, State Secretaries of State, Guardians of the Democratic Process, which was published in 2010, highlights best practices from secretaries of state across the country. Is there something those you rate at the top have in common?
Well, I like innovation and I like efficiency. And essentially, I would say that the offices where they're in the states where you have a service-oriented philosophy, approach to governance, as opposed to a political or partisan approach, are the ones where you see democracy working the best. And so, you know, one great example was a Secretary of State in Kansas, in Kentucky, leading the way for civics education. And we see other innovations in voter registration coming from secretaries in states like Arizona and Washington at the time. So I learned a great deal about how important this office is for bringing, for modernizing our democracy and protecting the security of the elections and really using that opportunity to be that advocate for voters at the statewide level.
Okay. I find it interesting, like, doing a book like that, to talk with various secretaries of state and people affiliated with the office. What was that like? Did they want to speak freely? Was it a little bit of a you want to write about what kind of thing or what? What was that like?
I think first and foremost, there was especially recognizing that secretaries of state can be seen as particularly using their office to a partisan advantage. There was a real effort to demonstrate how important it was to not use the office in a political way, in a partisan way, and that was a lot of what we talked about, and how they did that, particularly how you work to ensure that you're amplifying the voices of all citizens and working to protect the rights of all voters. And I saw the best secretaries of state were ones who really embraced that nonpartisan aspect of the office.
How does that influence running right now, especially in today's political climate? You're running for an elected office.
Yeah.
How is that with you having that idea of maintaining sort of the nonpartisanship?
I think it starts as a candidate. I've built a career that is not a partisan career as dean at Wayne State Law School, the CEO of a national nonprofit. I'm an administrator and an advocate for people. And then also building a coalition of support for our campaign that shows support from both sides, business leaders, local activists, faith leaders, citizens from all across the state of Michigan. And that, I think, demonstrates both the support that I'll have bringing these ideas into the office and the way I'll govern as well.
So do you think a Secretary of State should be a partisan office?
I don't think so. I certainly don't think it should operate in a partisan way and will not operate it in a partisan way. I don't think it's a political office. It's an office that interacts with every citizen in the state of Michigan and needs to be an advocate for everyone. And that's what I've been my entire career.
Speaking of the political process, You're unopposed for the Democratic Party nomination at the convention. It's coming up in late August. Secretary of State is one of a handful of offices for which nominees are chosen by convention instead of primaries. So if people were looking for your name in the primary, they didn't find it. Let's look at some things you hope to accomplish. The first centered on branch offices. It's what's being called the 30-minute guarantee. What is that and how did it come about?
Well, it's a way to succinctly communicate that I'm about setting goals and saving our citizens time and money and recognizing that everyone has to go to a branch office to renew their license or do other business in the state. We want to make that visit as painless and efficient as possible.
Okay. Your predecessor, former three-term state House Republican Ruth Johnson, tripled the number of services available online. She added a line management tool at the busiest branch offices, just to sort of a hold your place thing while you're away doing something else. And she won national recognition for vehicle registrations. You know, Secretary of States have always seemed to focus on service. Not all branch offices are characterized by long waits. The agency doesn't keep statistics on average wait times. How might your changes differ in kind and method from those?
Well, I do think we need to start with a time study of knowing exactly where the long waits are and being able to make decisions on efficiencies based on that. Mm-hmm. And also recognizing that as we modernize our services, we need to continue to develop creative ways to deliver those services. It may be putting more services online. It may be developing multi-year license plates and other innovations that other states have that make the things run more smoothly.
Okay.
And all with a line towards making things work better for our citizens and saving them time and money.
One of the things about the Secretary of State's office is it can be in especially more rural locations around the state, kind of a ways away to get to do the business. Not everybody in a rural location has online access. Mm-hmm. What about ideas to maybe have other areas where you could get some business done or something along those lines?
Yeah, I want to partner with local businesses to see if there are creative ways that while you're doing your grocery shopping, you can also get your license renewed.
Mm-hmm.
So different innovations like that, again, are in place in other states that we need to bring here to Michigan, can also address the fact that here in the UP, you've got 15 branch offices, one in every county, but it still could take a long time to get there.
And that's in the Constitution, isn't it?
It is, every
county has to have a branch office.
Yeah. Right. But even when you do have to, when there are some services that require some sort of in-person interaction, you can't move it online, let's find other ways to connect with people using other state offices like the DNR, local businesses, and through a partnership locally deliver services better to citizens.
Okay. The guarantee also applies to voting, I understand. Mm. While long lines to vote were reported in some Detroit precincts in November of 2016, that election, some officials say they're uncommon in most Michigan communities. What have you heard from voters and clerks across the state about long lines at voting?
Well, I think a lot of the innovations I've talked about, like no reason absentee voting and early voting, will work to make voting more efficient. But it comes back to, you know, my view is you've got to make it easier to vote and harder to cheat. So how can we make decisions in line with that, recognizing that voters' experiences vary throughout the state? In urban areas, there may be longer wait times than in others. And really partnering with our election administrators in every county and every locality to make sure they have the support they need to operate elections efficiently with an expectation that everyone's vote is equal, and we need to protect that equal access to the vote.
Okay. You've also pledged not to increase fees for Secretary of State services, but you say you're going to do that while improving the agency's technology. You compare this to holding the line on tuition when you were dean at Wayne Law.
Mm-hmm.
Even the most economical colleges and universities have seen expenses outrun revenues. How does one hold the line on costs and improve technology at an agency that, as you noted, intersects with just about everybody?
Well, it starts with bringing some of the efficiencies that I've learned by working in the private sector and leading institutions to essentially do more with less, to cut costs. I cut my budget as dean of Wayne State Law School, but still and advocated to freeze tuition while also expanding services.
Like, what was that, like
so $11 million? Yeah,
right?
$11 million, and we cut it by $1 million. And learning how to essentially find efficiencies, find ways for delivering services or delivering programs in a way that will be more cost effective. And a lot of times that's modernizing services and eliminating duplications and things like that. But we were able to do that. I was able to do that as a leader at Wayne State, cut our costs, freeze tuition, and increase our reputation and bar passage rates. So we found success. We became a stronger, better law school, even while improving efficiencies in how we spend our money.
I'd like to go back to the issue of the election process and the mm-hmm. Secretary of State's role in maintaining that security and the trust in it. As you're out there campaigning, I think a lot of people look at Secretary of State as basically the place to go to get a license. Mm-hmm. Are they understanding the role of the Secretary of State in election and protection of the election process? And what would you do to maintain that and make it even stronger for voters in Michigan?
Well, certainly at a time when election security is at the forefront of a lot of voters' minds, mm-hmm. communicating how important it is that the Secretary of State, as the Chief Election Officer, be ready on day one, as I am, to implement changes to improve the security of our elections. That's going to be a critical choice voters have this November sure. in this race, and I've got a plan, and we'll be ready to implement that plan on day one to ensure we're ready for the 2020 presidential election.
Is there an issue in Michigan, do you see now?
I think we are better off than some states. We have a paper trail for our machines. They are not right. connected to the internet, and we haven't experienced the same challenges that other states have. But at the same time, as the threats to the security of our elections continue, we know they didn't begin in 2016. They won't end with that election. Mm-hmm. So you need a Secretary of State who's prepared not just to protect our system against the threats we know of, but emerging threats as well. And that's where my experience also, my military family, my husband is in the Army, that a lot of that work as well is not just being prepared for the threats you know of, but anticipating the next ones. And that's why I want to create a task force on election security here in Michigan so that we're preparing for the emerging threats as well as the ones we know of.
Okay. I'd like to look back just a bit in terms of politics. You were defeated by now term limited Ruth Johnson at the polls in 2010. What do you think happened then and what's different now?
Well, I was gratified to receive support from so many voters throughout the state of Michigan, including many here in Marquette and throughout the Upper Peninsula. And now I come at this as a candidate 8 years later with a track record of experience of getting things done. I've been the dean of a law school, building the administrative work and capacity that we talked about. And I also come, my husband enlisted in the Army in the year since I ran and we built a great experience in understanding of our military service members and our veterans community as well. So I come with those experiences, that track record, combined with my ongoing passion for election law and voting rights that led me to run the first time. So I'm ready and prepared and at a moment in our country's democracy where we need real leadership at the state level.
Okay. I'm going to take a moment here to remind our viewers and especially our radio listeners that we're talking to a Democratic candidate for Michigan Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson of Detroit, joining me on the panel, Great Lakes Radio News Director Walt Lindela. Secretaries of State are traditionally advocates for traffic safety, in part related to licensing responsibilities. The country now may be converting slowly to electric and autonomous vehicles. I mean, it seems almost inevitable. What changes do you foresee in Secretary of State operations and services, and how do we avert fees in getting there?
Yeah, I come at this as the daughter of a driver's education teacher. My parents were both teachers, so I grew up in an environment where we're constantly talking about ways to improve driver safety. And I think that's really the job of the Secretary of State, even as we transition to this new era of new vehicles, whether it's autonomous vehicles or just modernizations in our current way of getting around. We need to ensure our drivers are prepared to drive safely and share the road. So I'm actually excited to embrace that responsibility. I think the next Secretary of State must put that at the forefront of their work to ensure our drivers are prepared to drive safely and to be ensure that the safety of our roads are protected. And it's coming from the state as well with the big three here. I think we've got an opportunity to be a leader in the country for how we operate during this evolution of mobility.
You know, utilities, the industry itself, the automotive industry, Public Service Commission, and I imagine some people, the Secretary of State's office, are probably wondering about how we're going to pay for this transition. Mm-hmm. There, in fact, there's a lot of talk of that, and as utilities seem to commit more and more to the idea of charging stations and all those things that will have to be part of there. You know, fees sometimes stand in for tax increases, and tax increases aren't very popular for most people today. So do you see any other fees and things? I'd mention that a bit in the question, but do you see, how are we going to pay for this transition is what
I'm saying. I like to get things done in the most efficient and cost-effective way possible. So I'm going to try to approach this transition from that same mindset and say, how can we protect the safety of our drivers and ensure they're prepared? And it just will be my job as Secretary of State to advocate for those protections, and at the same time do it in a cost-effective way that that does not require fee increases or tax increases on our drivers or our citizens, and work with our corporate leaders, our companies, to make sure that they have the support they need to make decisions in an efficient way as we as we enter this transition. So I'm excited to be part of that conversation and to really bring similarly the best ideas of how to operate in at that time, at that moment here in Michigan.
You mentioned driver safety and keeping the drivers safe while they're out there. One of the issues with that can come up is the roads in the state are not necessarily safe in many areas because of their disrepair. Gretchen Whitmer, running as governor, has that as a strong message in her campaign about fixing the roads. What role do you see as Secretary of State in getting the roads fixed in the name of safety?
I think it's exactly what you said, approaching it from the perspective of how do we protect the safety of our drivers and how do we do so in a cost-effective way. And being a voice for our drivers in Lansing, you know, from drivers all around our state is part of my goal and my vision for the, how I'll lead that Secretary of State office. And that's why I'm traveling around the state talking with drivers and citizens everywhere to say, you know, and driving on the roads and experiencing them all myself. And I drove up to Houghton to see a lot of the flood damage there as well. And, you know, And so recognizing that every driver, every community has unique challenges, and that it'll be my job as Secretary of State to represent our citizens from a perspective of making sure that we are not unduly increasing fees on them unnecessarily, especially if they're not seeing the return on their investment with better roads, but at the same time working to ensure we recognize that safe driving means safer roads.
Really in an advocacy role, really, for the drivers.
Yeah, exactly.
Skipping a little bit to improving election security, you have a very strong background in election law and voter rights. But we could be talking about, in talking about election security, we could be talking about attempts to hack voting systems. We could be talking about protecting voter information, preventing fraud, protecting people from intimidation at the polls. What does improving election security entail for the Department of State specifically?
It means ensuring that our citizens can trust the results of our elections to be an accurate reflection of the vote. So if citizens are casting their ballot, we need to ensure not only that they can cast that ballot with ease and that those ballots are secure, but also that the machines are accurately counting them. And that's why a centerpiece of my plan for election security are these risk-limiting post-election audits that randomly will check machines in an efficient way to make sure they're accurately counting our ballots. We won't need to wait for a recount to make sure that the count is accurate. And we see these in place in Colorado, New Mexico. They're working quite well, and I'm going to bring that here to Michigan.
Tell me about your thoughts on the possible perception out there that the way things are being talked about and a lot of the extreme views, especially that are being bandied about on social media and things like that, that may not always be accurate, but could foster an attitude of mistrust of election results.
Yeah.
How would you work to address that, to maintain that, at least under your watch in the state of Michigan, voters can rely on those? Beyond the audits and things that you're talking about, what would you do to make sure voters can trust going to the polls?
This may be relevant to voter turnout.
Yeah, exactly. And trust in our democracy, which is critical to participation and engagement. And I think a lot of, and it's absolutely right, we need to be careful to basically demonstrate what we're doing to protect against the security, any security threats, to having town halls throughout the state. I'll hope to come back up here to the UP many times throughout my time as Secretary of State, but we'll have town halls, conversations with voters about what they're doing, and try to essentially talk about facts and data and the work that we're doing, and also prioritizing it, recognizing that the perception of security is as important as security itself.
Your 2010, Brooke, was the first in-depth study of the Secretary's role in registering voters. And I know local election officials are always striving to improve registrations, but the turnout is still less than stellar. You've seen some places where the system's kind of broken down. During the 2008 election, you led an effort to block the use of foreclosure lists to challenge the eligibility of some voters. What was onerous about that first, and how should we check voter eligibility to ensure integrity of the outcome?
Well, number one, we need to ensure that our registration lists are accurate. And there's already a program in place called ERIC States that many states, not Michigan, have joined to ensure that we're working together at the national level to share data and protect the accuracy of the registration list. So we've got to do that work and also recognize that in that case, the use of foreclosure lists, particularly at a time when people are losing their homes, this was in 2008, the height of the financial crisis, that is an inappropriate and unfair way to try to intimidate voters and embarrass them even when they're showing up to vote and saying, isn't your home foreclosed? It doesn't accomplish any goal of protecting the accuracy of the list. And it does, I think, really harm our citizens and our voters at a time when they may be struggling financially and don't want that.
What's the point of doing it in the first place, apart from political advantage?
Well, I think there was a fear or an expectation that it would create longer lines at the polls, and also intimidate voters. And that's what I took it to the Secretary of State at the time, Terry Lynn Land, and she agreed. And based on our advocacy, banned the use of foreclosure lists in the polls to intimidate and challenge voters.
Okay, let's talk about another limitation here. An effort has been made across government to ensure that military service members have access to voting. But you're married to a serviceman whose ballot was returned while serving in Afghanistan in 2012. Could that happen today?
If so,
how do we change it?
In Michigan, I'll just say, as a lifelong advocate for democracy, there are a few things that are as much of a gut punch as coming home one day while your husband is in Afghanistan serving and finding his ballot stamped undeliverable in a presidential election. Yeah. And I take that experience, and will take that experience with me to Lansing, because no citizen in Michigan should ever feel that their ballot is undeliverable. That said, if we had lived in many other states, I could have taken his ballot right to the clerk's office because it had been postmarked by Election Day, and it would have still been able to count. But here in Michigan, the ballot has to be received by Election Day, and there's no exceptions if your ballot was sent but not received, or there was some sort of snafu.
Or even if there's some problem getting it from overseas.
Exactly. And I think we need to change that, because that one small change to the administration's policies would have enabled my husband's vote to count in that election, and I'm sure many others. And again, this is in place in other states, not in Michigan, and that's why this office matters so much. And when at that moment, it's a question of is a voter's vote going to count or not.
You want absentee voting for any reason at all, right?
Yeah, I think it's about, again, making it easier to vote and harder to cheat. So are we implementing no reason absentee, allowing people to vote by mail if they want to, but are we creating that process in a secure way? And using the fact that most other states have figured out how to have no reason absentee ballots secured, and bringing those ideas, innovations here to Michigan so that our voters have those same opportunities.
Okay. Voter turnout here in this primary, pretty good. Some areas of the state had higher numbers than expected. Democrats came out pretty strongly. Quickly with it, the idea is that if you're elected in as Secretary of State, what role would you see in terms of encouraging people to vote? You talk about making it easier to vote. Mm-hmm. Do you see a role in the Secretary of State's office of getting people to vote?
Yes, I think the core foundation of a healthy democracy are informed and engaged citizens. And so I will see my role as Secretary of State as really leading that charge, going around the state, having conversations with citizens, and using the opportunity that office creates, because it interacts with everybody, just to communicate how important their voice and their vote is. And then also demonstrating that they have an advocate in Lansing. So, coming up here regularly, for example, to make sure not only that I'm familiar with the challenges that residents in the UP are experiencing. Some of my husband's family's from Marquette, and we got engaged on Isle Royale. So, it's an important part of my story, the UP, and then making sure that citizens feel they have an advocate, know they have an advocate in Lansing, in the hopes that will demonstrate how important their vote and their voice is, and the change that you can see as a result of
participation. You once spearheaded a project in 2011 that provided citizens with access to redistricting software. Voters may soon be deciding whether to turn Michigan redistricting over to some sort of non-legislative committee. The proposed standards for establishing that committee have been criticized as vague, fraught with legal issues, and the proposed system is politically biased anyway. Mm. What would you say?
Well, I think at the heart of the way districts are drawn, and you see this here in the UP, They're drawn right now by the people who hold office themselves. And so there's an inherent conflict of interest in giving citizens...
But they always have been.
Well, giving citizens the power instead to draw our districts has been demonstrated in other states to be a way to ensure districts are competitive. And I wanted to demonstrate that here in Michigan 10 years ago during our redistricting process. And we created a citizens redistricting competition, gave citizens the ability to draw their own districts, submitted those maps to Lansing. They weren't chosen, but the winner of that competition that we led was a young kid, a college student who led the College Republicans at Central Michigan University. Mm-hmm. So it demonstrated that citizens, when given the opportunity to draw districts, they can do them and they can do it well.
The issue, as I understand it, having read several of these little analyses, is it's not so much that we're using a non-legislative body to do it. Mm. It's the criteria for choosing the members, which seems to be really all over the place.
Well, I think it's important to have many levels to ensure true nonpartisanship and that you get people who are committed to the essence of the proposal of citizen leaders as opposed to political people drawing the districts.
Oh, what about being committed to districts in which your vote matters?
Yeah, you know? and exactly, and competitive districts that will ensure we've got accurate, you know, districts drawn and not gerrymandered to rig the outcome of the election. So I think, you know, this is a proposal that citizens around the state have really bandied together to support. It's been extraordinary to observe the amount of interest on both sides, citizens from all over in supporting this. I was at the state fair yesterday, and there were citizens there advocating for it in Escanaba. So this is truly a citizen-led effort, and my goal as Secretary of State will be to administer it in a way that is in line with the will of the voters that are supporting it.
Okay. By law, the Department of State is required to have branch offices in all 83 counties we mentioned. 2007, you successfully blocked the closure of one in Buena Vista Township. What do you see in that effort that may be relevant today?
Well, that was a recognition that many, I think at the time it was over a majority of voters in Buena Vista Township of citizens registered to vote in that branch office. And so we successfully argued to the U.S. Justice Department that branch office needed to stay open because it was a critical way for people to register to vote. And I think that's important to remember. These branch offices deliver many points of service for our citizens and also emphasizes the need to modernize how we register our voters so that you don't have to go to a branch office to register to vote, but you can register online in a secure way and other mechanisms that like you can in other states.
Okay. Michigan, I think we're probably about out of time here. Michigan has had 42 secretaries of state. 27 have been Republican, 12 have been Democrats. The longest serving was Richard Austin, Democrat from 1971 to 1995. No women held that office until 1995 when Candace Miller did it. And you would be the first woman Democrat in the post. Any special thoughts about that? You got about 30 seconds.
Well, I mean, I built a whole career preparing to do this job at a time when we need a Secretary of State who's prepared on day one to operate that office in a way that is in line with the best interest of every citizen and serving every citizen of the state. So I'm ready to do the job, and I'm excited to be in there as a military spouse, as a mother, as an advocate for people, as a former dean of a law school, and use all of those experiences and perspectives to serve our citizens.
Thank you. We've been talking to Democratic candidate for Michigan Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson of Detroit. Joining me on the panel, Great Lakes Radio News Director Walt Lindela. I'm Bill Hart. Thanks for joining us on Media Meet.
The preceding program was produced in studios located in the Edgar L. Hardin Learning Resources Center by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television.